sign the whole letter to Jesus Christ our Lord, to this and the name of the Spirit, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, whose life-giving words uphold us in our weakness, strengthen and teach us by the Holy Spirit, for the Father and glory. Amen. Matthew 13, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the wheat also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go to pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weed, you may uproot the wheat with it. Let them both grow together until the harvest." At that time, I will tell the harvesters, "First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, that's the verse starting verse 36 to 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned
like lying and, you know, extramarital affairs, things that are commonplace in our world today, even that make this stuff an entertainment, aren't just described as infractions that mean not being on their car becomes evil. And so Israel is called to respond to that sort of evil numerous times in the quote up there on the screen. You must purge the evil from among you. You see, our world is not an amoral, neutral place. In sin, we have become embroiled in and in part culpable for the evil in the world today. And so James 1, verse 14 says that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed, and this, of course, ends up leading to death. And here this is really sobering, because you'll remember what Jesus is teaching us about the nature of his kingdom here. One day, when his kingdom comes in all its fullness, all evil, everything that causes sin will be uprooted, it will be destroyed. Let me read from verse 20. As the wicked is pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why did he do what he did? There's one thing to question why Washington didn't run for a third term, but why did God go to the drastic measures of stepping into human history? That's why. I mean, look at the words that Jesus uses. It's horrific when he speaks of eternal judgment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. A blazing furnace. I mean, in our postmodern age, we're really good at being neutral, not getting involved, standing back. But Jesus loves us too much for that. He speaks clearly. In fact, he came to rescue us from such an outcome. Jesus really wants us to know what his kingdom is like. He wants us to know that even though the brains may not be universally acknowledged in the world today, it is nonetheless universal. He wants us to know the nature of his reign and that none will escape, that justice will come to all. He wants us to know that when his kingdom comes in his fullness, there will be a separation. There will be two types of people. There will be those who belong to him, who have accepted his reign and have found forgiveness for the sin and the evil which they have become embroiled in and culpable for. But then there will be the rest, who have not come in his reign, who remain aligned with Satan, remain aligned with evil, remain in their sin, and so will be cut off and will be judged. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. There are no spiritual Switzerland. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge that if you're new to church or are investigating faith, Jesus' teaching here is hard to hear. Very know, it's my prayer that as our society drifts from its gospel warning, that as our society's conception of good actually darkens and becomes more oppressive and restrictive, that the goodness and life and fullness that is found in being aligned with our King would shine all the more brighter. And I can only wonder if that's beginning to happen. I read an article, I think it was just before Christmas, published on the ABC of all places, that reflected that from there.